Good day, and welcome to the Fuels America Sustainability and Renewable Fuel Conference Call. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Ms. Deborah Greenspan. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for getting on this morning's call from Farm to Fuel Tank, Sustainability and Renewable Fuel. The goal of today's call is to give you a kind of 360-degree view of sustainability through the renewable fuel supply chain. On today's call, we have three great speakers. We have Fred Yoder, past president of the National Corn Growers Association and recent White House Champion of Change awardee. We have Jan Koenigs, business director for biofuels at DuPont. And we have Adam Monroe, president of Novozymes North America. Each person will speak for just a few minutes, and then we'll open it up for Q&A. And I'd ask that before you ask your question, you state your name and outlet, and then direct your question to a specific individual. Thanks again for joining, and we'll kick off with Fred Yoder.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be with you all today. Just a little bit about myself. My name is Fred Yoder. I farm in central Ohio. I grow corn, soybeans, and wheat with my family. We farm about 1,500 acres. I'm 100% no-till or conservation till, and that's much different than it used to be because we used to till the soil, plow with the moldboard, and you know, watch the soil erode in the wintertime. But when I took over the farm from my father a few years ago, actually it's about 20 years ago, we farmed together until his health was failing. I asked him if there was any last-minute request he would make, and he said, "The only thing I ask you, son, is that you leave it in better shape than when you got it." And I will tell you today that my farm is the most productive it's ever been. I'm farming in the most sustainable way I have ever been because we do a much better job of managing nutrients. We do a much better job of managing the water that goes off the farm. We've created a number of filter strips and grass waterways and things like that to hold the nutrients in place. We've saved untold tons of topsoil because if we don't have the runoff problems we do. The water that does run off our farm is clear. It's not muddy. It's staying in place. Today I think it's a great privilege for me to be able to feed and fuel the world. I think it's a privilege to work the land. And with that, privilege is a responsibility to do it in a sustainable way and do it in a way that's going to leave it better, even for my children, the next generation. And I'm being able to do that in a lot of different ways, but technology has a big, big part of this. Things I have available to me today, my father didn't have, with his new technologies, with new seeds, new equipment that I can be less invasive on my land. I can basically just cut a slot in the field and put my seed in there and leave all the cover on top. I've incorporated cover crops to keep my soil alive. I mean, we find a tremendous benefit in taking a real hard look at our soil health and continuing to make the soil health better. One of the things that's made me more productive than I've ever been before was I've been able to, we've all got those acres that are very productive, highly productive, but where I've been able to gain is take my marginal land and pay attention to the soil profile and enhance that soil health through cover crops and also rotations and things like that to improve the organic matter. At the same time, organic matter is basically carbon. So the more I can increase my soil organic matter, I'm also sequestering more carbon. So I'm also providing a lot of ecosystem services to the rest of the world that we probably never addressed before. So I think that's really important. The point is that we can do all this, and what I think is great about the technology is the fact that we can even grow some more biofuels on some marginal land through perennials and take the crop off once a year, so it takes the pressure off of the annual crops that we grow too. So agriculture is probably the best most brightest spot in the economy today in the United States, and I think that we have proven once and for all that we can go beyond increasing our productivity, but we can also do it in an environmentally friendly way and increase the value of the soils as we do it. Now I think I'll turn it over to Jan, and he's got some things he wants to talk about.
Thank you, Fred, and I'm very happy to be here as well. Thanks for joining us. Just a quick word of introduction. I'm responsible at DuPont for the development of our new biofuel technologies and their commercialization. And this includes renewable fuel from biomass. DuPont is a 210-year-old innovation company, and sustainability has been very important to us now for a long time. We recognize that if you're going to build a business for a long time, you got to make sure all aspects of it are sustainable. We're building a cellulosic ethanol plant right now in Nevada, in Iowa, close to Ames, Iowa. And that plant will produce about 30 million gallons of biofuel from corn stover, from leftover corn plant in the field. And we need to be absolutely sure that this can be collected in a sustainable way, because we expect and we plan for this plant to be running decades from now and producing and having access to a feedstock that continues to come. At DuPont, we've been working on renewable biofuel from non-grain, from non-starch, for about 10 years now. And it started out immediately in 2003 with us thinking about how this could be done sustainably. And we included advisory panels, we included the contribution from universities in this, and we immediately started studies on soil types, the impact of farming techniques on the sustainability on these fuels, and on how you can sustainably build your supply chain. We've built a supply chain. We harvested, for instance, last harvest, 15,000 acres, and developing techniques. And as we do this, we continue to do soil testing. We do a tremendous amount of economy to understand the impact. And what we see is that there are ways here to collect this corn stover and other biomasses in a very sustainable way while maintaining and, in fact, as Fred just said, building the soil quality. And many of the things that Fred pointed out are things that are absolutely consistent with what we found and what we are applying. We've continued our work with the help of Iowa State University, with Idaho National Labs, and a number of other external institutions, just to ascertain that we get a broad point of view and reference points. Personally, I meet regularly with farmers, and our discussions always go to agronomy, into their soil first. Farmers who will be the suppliers of our feedstock for these biofuel plants are very dedicated to the quality of their soil and the quality of their land, which is their key asset, and are truly moved to preserve it for generations to come. And we see this in their interest, we see this in the questions they ask us, and we see this in the tools that they want to deploy as they prepare to supply us with biomass. In a most recent step in that regard, about 2 weeks ago, DuPont signed an MOU with the NRCS, the National Research Conservation Service, which is a part of the USDA. And what we're doing there is we are working with the NRCS to develop and to incorporate several conservation planning tools into our supply chain mechanism. So we're going to offer to farmers additional tools with which they can assess and manage the sustainability of a stover harvest to further build up the quality of the soil and the productivity of the soil, and therefore the certainty of our supply to our biofuel plants. So sustainability core to this, and very doable, very achievable in biomass supply chains, something that we always focused on and something that we're bringing to reality now. So let me switch over to Adam now and allow him to give some comments.
Thanks, Jan. So for those of you who are not familiar with Novozymes, we are a science and technology company that has been working with enzymes and microorganisms and biotechnology for decades, providing natural solutions, if you will, to everyday problems. And our company's vision has been the way to find the necessary balance between good business, better lives, better environment. And the solutions we provide are all geared towards that balance. And I'd like to tell you about a couple of the examples that we have today in the biofuel space. Now, in the biofuel space for well over 10 years, we've been providing key enzymes into that space. And along that timeline, we have much better understood the full ecosystem and what's involved. And it's also opened new business opportunities for us to use nature's technology. And one of the examples that I'd like to tell you about is in what we like to call our bioag technology. And this is where there is a whole new world opening up, where you look at the microbiology that's in the soil and the native microorganisms and how they have a very synergistic effect with the plant and how well it grows and these kind of things. And we've developed products that farmers are using today to get better yield, so they're getting more crop output for the land that they have. But more importantly, it's doing things that have the potential and are reducing their needs for fertilizer, or to get more efficiency out of the fertilizer that they do use. It's also, as I mentioned, producing more yield, but the way it does this is in the early stages of the plant. These, by providing these native organisms much closer to the seed, you get plants that come out of the ground with more robustness, earlier foliage. And what's very important about that is that it provides a more resistant plant to adverse conditions, whether that be a drought or a flood or other adverse conditions. And so at the end of the day, this new technology that farmers are out there using is helping to ensure the investments that they've made in land and chemicals and these kind of things. And this technology is also helping them with controlling pests that have become resistant to traditional pesticides. So it's a whole new area of business that is garnered a lot of interest from many companies. It's a billion-dollar market. But more importantly, I think for sustainability, it offers tremendous advantages. And just like Fred and Jan mentioned, we know that that is an incredibly important aspect for successful production from land in the future. So the other example that I'd like to tell you about that I think is something else we've learned along the way in the world of biofuels, and that is an example in North Carolina where we have a project with a partner called Chemtex, where in North Carolina they have huge swine operations, and they have hundreds of thousands of acres of land where they the land can't be utilized for anything else. It's very non-productive land, and they put hog waste on it to remediate the nitrogen that's in the waste. Today, the project that we are running is a project where you'll grow an energy grass instead on that land that can help to remediate the nitrogen from the swine waste, and we will use it to make a biofuel. So we'll convert that into sugars and then make it into an advanced biofuel. At the end of the day, what that does is it helps us to produce more fuel, more energy from lands that otherwise don't have much purpose other than to help with an environmental problem. So we get fuel, we help to solve an environmental problem, and we provide jobs and economy in a very depressed area of North Carolina. And I think if you look across the country, and we have, there are many, many more opportunities like that. So when we consider the sustainability of biofuels, which are by default already very sustainable, I think there are tremendous opportunities for not only our traditional cropland and the improvements that you've heard about there, but also lands where today are lying fallow or have very little purpose. So I think both of those examples are exciting. And then I just want to finish by maybe reminding everyone that when our nation considers its energy future and debates questions around, you know, do we drill in sensitive areas? Do we offer more deep water oil permits? Do we build pipelines across the country? I think when you contrast that, or at least look at the potential that biofuels offers and the sustainability practices that are going on there, because that industry was born out of a thought around the environment and for our domestic energy security. I think the alternatives are pretty stark, and I think very positive for our country. And I know that as we go down this path, if we can stay on this path and not be distracted as we learn, I think we'll see tremendous potential that we've talked about today and things that we have yet to even discover. So I'm very excited about the future of this industry as long as we can stay the course. So with that, I will stop there and I will turn it over to you guys for questions.
If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. And we will take our first question from Jerry Hackstrom with the Hackstrom Report.
Yes, as I understand it, there is some relationship with USDA that's being announced. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, sure. This is Sean Collins. DuPont and the USDA signed an MOU on March 29th, if my memory serves right, about 2 weeks ago. And this collaboration is really a collaboration with the NRCS, which is a part of the USDA, the National Resource Conservation Service, which offers support to farmers and ranchers in the sustainable use of natural resources. And in particular, this collaboration that we have signed and announced aims to develop for growers a communication package about corn residue, about how to harvest it, about how it can be harvested, about residue management, about cover crops. Fred mentioned those already in his introductory remark. Cover crops are crops that are grown before and after the harvest, or between harvests, to further protect the land and to further add nutrition to the land, carbon to the land, information about soil quality and soil erosion prevention. So together we will develop a package of information and techniques that farmers can apply as corn stover is partially harvested on their land. With partially harvested, I mean, not all the corn stover will be harvested, but some of it. And so this will just become part of the NRCS's offering of advice to farmers, and it will be something that we will apply in our supply chain.
And is that just between DuPont and USDA?
Correct. This collaboration is between DuPont and USDA. Now, the NRCS products that come out, advisory products that come out of this, will be available to publicly. But the collaboration is one, since we're both very committed to the sustainability of this process, we really saw something there that we could do together in a very synergistic way. Keep in mind, DuPont, through its Pioneer business, has a tremendous amount of corn and corn farming experience. With our Pioneer business, we've walked the cornfield, so to speak, since 1926. And we have great relationships with farmers, and we've had great relationships with their fathers and grandfathers. And so we're very dedicated to the sustainability of their business and their practices. And the NRCS is aware of that. The NRCS has the same commitment. It's a great public-private partnership.
Thank you.
Once again, if you do have a question, please press star 1 at this time.
Well, thank you, everyone, for joining. If you need any additional information, you can shoot me an email at dgreenspan@gpgdc.com. And thanks again for hopping on such a busy morning.